Britain is still coming to terms with the rioting that swept across so many cities there last week. The government is now considering how to do a better job of maintaining order. One suggestion is to disrupt cell phone service and social media networks during civil unrest. That's already provoked strong opposition. Another proposal is to impose curfews. Here's Britain's Home Secretary Theresa May speaking earlier today.
Should it be possible to impose a curfew across a geographical area, and should we have extra powers for curfews to be available for people who are under 16? We're going to look very closely at what is going to be needed, but what I would say is the scenes that we saw on our streets last week are such that it is right that we ask whether we have given the police all the powers they need to deal with that sort of violence and that sort of criminality.
Again, that's Britain's Home Secretary. Curfews have been tried before. In 2008, the town of Redruth in Cornwall imposed a voluntary curfew for 8 weeks. Kevin Hawke is a community worker who joined police on that curfew. What were the problems and the kinds of behaviour that you were trying to address by issuing the curfew?
Residents were for a long time reporting issues of congregations of young people just hanging out and just doing the things that kids would normally do, really. They would escalate to criminal damage, to general antisocial behavior and consumption of alcohol.
So how did it work?
Young people would be challenged by police officers, by community leaders, and asked where they were going and what they were doing. If they didn't have justifiable cause for being where they were, then a call back to their parents. And if nobody knew what was going on, then we would take them back to their parents.
Now, there's a different scheme for different age groups. How did that work?
Young people needed to be in, if they were under 10, they needed to be in by 8 o'clock at night. And if they were under 16, they needed to be in by 9 o'clock. There were punitive measures for persistent offenders, for people that continued to cause disruption, cause antisocial behavior. These measures involved the social landlords who provided most of the young people's parents with properties. It was basically tenancy enforcement, making sure that they were made aware that they were in breach of their tenancy if this continued to happen.
So are you saying social landlords, you mean government housing, and the landlords would be notified, those who are in charge would be notified that the kids were misbehaving?
That's right. Most of the targeted individuals that we were trying to address were well aware of the criminal justice system. They'd been to court, they'd experienced police involvement a number of times, and this wasn't really a deterrent to them. But once it was explained that their parents might lose their property and they would then have nowhere to live, this had a far more resounding impact.
And did that ever happen? Did anybody ever lose their home because the kids were out on the street?
One family did, yes. The social landlord took out a notice to seek possession, and consequently that family were evicted.
What about people who have private homes who don't live in government housing?
They'd be engaged by the antisocial behaviour team, which would involve coming into the police station, talking to the parents, giving them a stern warning as to what could happen if their young person continued to be disruptive. The stage two process involved going into the legal process and actually issuing an antisocial behaviour order.
Sounds though like the punishment was a lot steeper for those kids who lived in public housing.
It was, yeah. I mean, it's about using the measures that are going to have the best impact.
This is something that happened in your town, in Cornwall, a small town, Redruth. Could you imagine this working in a larger area, London beyond several cities?
I think it will work in larger areas if the areas are defined. I mean, if you just sort of cast the net over London, and it definitely wouldn't work. But what needs to happen is specific hotspots led by community groups and community leaders. It will definitely work because it gives nobody the opportunity to congregate and then progress on to the issues that we've seen over the past couple of weeks.
All right. Thank you. Kevin Hawke, who lives in the town of Redruth, England. He worked with police on an experiment to enforce a curfew in his town. The curfew was called Operation Goodnight. Kevin, thank you.
Thank you.